Okay, tonight let's start with lesson number 7 here. We're on our series on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. And I'm telling you, if there's one thing you really need to know to spoil the devil's plan for your life, is to know the authority that you have in the Word, based on the Word, in the name of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just incredible the number of people that don't know this. And authority is one of those things, if you don't know about it, you can't use it. And if you don't use it, it won't do you any good.
And if you forget it.
And if you forget it.
You suffer the consequences.
Right. Because if you don't remember, that's a good point too. Because just because we hear these things once doesn't mean that we have everything under control. Because remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, it says, by the Word of God. And so it's a, you know, the Word of God is likened unto food in many places in the Bible. It says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, just as a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Talks about the Word being milk for us. Talks about, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So it's like food. And just because you eat one kind of food one time doesn't mean that you never eat it again, does it? You'll eat it again and again. I was thinking about this authority subject right before we came, and I thought, you know, let me ask you a question before we get started. What would you do if you looked out your window and you had little children, say, and you saw a little dog just chasing their kids all over the yard, just, and they were screaming and crying and running from this dog, this little dog? Let me give you a choice, A, B, or C. A, would you, one, call the police? Two, wring your hands and hope the dog goes away? Or C, tell it to scat. What would you do?
Scat.
Tell it to scat.
Open the door and tell the kids to come in.
Open the door and tell the kids to come in. Well, that's one thing to do. But I think, you know, if most people would say, why should I call the police? It's just a little dog. I'll just tell him to scat. Or why should I just wring my hands and hope it goes away on its own? Just say scat. But, you know, it's the same way with the devil. A lot of people, you know, if the devil harasses them, and he's been defanged by Jesus, when Jesus, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we're going to find that out tonight, he doesn't have any real power or authority left anymore. But yet Christians go around either, number one, wanting to say, God, do something about this, that's like calling the police, or they just wring their hands and hope he just leaves them alone, try to, or three, a few of us know enough to say, scat, in the name of Jesus. You know, and it's important that we know these things. And the sad part is, a lot of people don't know what I'm about to talk about tonight. And so, after the end of tonight, you're going to have some really good, it's not going to be new maybe to you, all of you, but it's going to be something that will bring it back at least. Okay. What is authority? Before we discuss authority, let's discuss what it is. I've done a lot of thinking about this in the last week or two, and I've come up with a definition based upon our legal system. And here's what it is. Legal authority is based upon rights given by written laws, enforced by the power of the courts, and backed up by the status of the name of the particular government you're living under. Let me just say that again. Legal authority is based on rights that you have, all right, based upon written laws. These laws that are written down are enforced by what? The power of the courts. And they're backed up by the status of whatever government you're under. For example, if you have just a little tiny government that just formed itself and a bunch of rebels have taken over something, you know, they may be in charge of the government, but they don't have any status in their name yet. And they can't really enforce much in that country. If they don't have any written laws, there isn't any authority, because there's nothing to base your law upon. And then if you have written laws, if you don't back them up, enforce them by the power of the courts to punish those who don't keep the law of the land, they're not much good. So you got to have three things. You've got to have rights given by the laws. They got to be enforced by the power of the courts and backed up by the status of the name of the government. By the time we're done with this lesson, we're going to find out what that means in Christian terms. And if you just look at the bottom of your outline, I'll give you a little peek ahead of time. Christian authority, we're going to find out, is based upon rights given by the Word of God, enforced by the power of the Holy Spirit, and backed up by the status in the name of Jesus. Okay? And that's going to become clear as we go along here. Okay, the thing that I think I was impressed to do in this little teaching on authority is, first of all, go over the history of the authority and power in the earth. And really it divides up into four pieces. First, Adam had some authority, then Satan obtained some authority, then Jesus took it back from him, and then Christians received authority. So there's four entities here. There's Adam, then Satan, then Jesus, and then Christians. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So first of all, let's talk about a little bit about the authority Adam had. God gave Adam authority in the earth. Now God has all authority, but he delegated on this particular planet called Earth authority here. He says, Adam, I'm leaving you in charge. You can name all the animals. You're completely taking charge of this planet Earth. And you might say that Adam was the god of this world. Not God like God in heaven, but just the head. That's what we mean by this. The head of this world. All right? Now, we know what happened to Adam, don't we? What did he do? He disobeyed God, didn't he? And when he did that, what did he do? Instead of obeying God, he obeyed Satan. And when he did that, he transferred his allegiance from God to Satan. And when he did this, God warned him this would happen. He said, Adam, I don't want you to eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do eat of it, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Actually, the Hebrew says, really, he says, and in eating thereof, by dying you shall die. Now, there's two dies in that, in the original Hebrew there. And what it means is, the day that you eat of it, you will die, meaning spiritual death. And in dying spiritually, you will eventually die physically. See, there wasn't any physical death up until that time. Adam was meant to live forever. He was never meant to die physically. God never said he had to die. But after that, when they received the nature of Satan by through this disobedience, they received his nature through this disobedience, which is spiritual death, they died spiritually, which meant that they eventually started dying quicker and quicker physically. First they lived for like 900 years, then it was dropping to 700, and 500, and 300, and now the maximum anybody lives, the Word of God tells us, is about 120 years. In fact, if you go look on the internet or somewhere like that and look at the oldest person in the world, for the last several hundred years, they all fall around this 120-year mark. You know, I did a study on that one time. I went and looked all those things up. So Adam had the authority. He disobeyed God. He gave Satan his allegiance. He died spiritually, Adam did. And he forfeited his authority to Satan, and in so doing, came under Satan's rule. Okay, now that was the first experience with authority on the earth. That was Adam. All right? Now, he's committed high treason against God, and now Satan has this authority. So Satan has some power and authority in the earth. And for about 5,000 years, Satan was the god of this world. Now, is everybody familiar with the fact that 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan is the god of this world? Does everybody know that's there? Okay, we won't turn there then. Satan is now the god of this world over those who live in this world, and was for about 5,000 years between the time Adam sinned and the time that Jesus came on the earth. All during that time, Satan basically reigned. He was the little g god of this world. All right? And he had something called authority. And if you look, later on we're going to look this up, Satan had the authority, or keys. When you read keys in the Bible, it means authority. You know, if you have the keys to something, if you're at work and you've got the keys and you go in and clean at night or something like that, they give you a set of keys, you have authority to go in there at night and unlock the doors and go into the buildings or whatever. The keys, in this case, are a symbol of authority. Satan had the keys, and the keys that he had were the keys to death and hell. Now, I'm going to show you that in a minute in some scripture, but just keep that in your mind. The authority he had was the keys to death and hell for all who sin. Satan had the keys to death and hell for all who sin. As soon as a little baby is born into this world, he doesn't have any authority over them until they get the age of reason and they finally sin. At that point, they die spiritually, just like Adam did. It's still happening to this day. And he has these keys. He has authority to do this. He has authority to give them his nature, and which is spiritual death, and he also has authority to cast them into hell. Now, I want you to turn to Luke 12:5 and look at a scripture that's really misunderstood by a lot of people. In fact, I heard somebody the other day said this, and it doesn't mean this at all. So I'd like you to look at it, though, because when you do find out what it means, it's very revealing. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Jesus is talking here, and he's talking to a multitude of people, and he's talking to his disciples as well, and he says in here, in verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will tell you of whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. A lot of people say, and I've seen this in commentaries, they think Jesus is talking about God here. He says, fear him which after he has killed hath power to cast into hell. Did you know that, first of all, God isn't the one that's doing the killing? We already know that, don't we? Jesus said, I have come that you might have more life. But the enemy comes to steal what?
Destroy
and kill. So he's the one that does the killing. And he's saying, beware of him. He's talking to these people because they don't know the Lord yet. They're not saved yet. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. He's saying, if you're going to fear somebody, don't fear those that can just kill your body, but fear him which has more authority, that can cast not only your body, I mean, it's not your body, but your spirit into hell. And he says, fear him which after he has killed, God doesn't kill, so he's not talking about God, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now, he's talking about the enemy here. Because the enemy has the keys to death, spiritual death, and what? Hell. Those are the two things that Satan for 5,000 years had authority over. Why? Because sin was in the earth. And every person that lived on this earth had sinned. And once they sinned, there was no way for them to get out from under that sin. And because of that, Satan had authority over them. Now, when Jesus came, things changed. But I'm talking about for that about 5,000 years in there. Is everybody clear on that? Satan had authority here, all right? So he had the keys to death and hell. Now, about 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, and he came to this earth, and he went to the cross, and then he died, and then he went to hell and paid the penalty for our sins, was risen from the dead, is now seated at the Father's right hand. Things changed authority-wise tremendously during this period of time when Jesus went to the cross. Between the time Jesus went to the cross and the time he was resurrected, 3 days later, a tremendous change occurred in the earth that had never occurred in the history of the earth in terms of authority. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, let's go on now and read in detail what happened. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to let you do a little reading now. Colossians chapter 2, it's right after Philippians, as you know. And we're going to look at talking about Jesus here. Now, we could go back up in there and find out. But it's talking about he was buried with him in baptism. We were buried with him in baptism. Talking about Jesus, where we are risen with him through the faith of God, the operation of God, who has raised him, talking about Jesus, from the dead. And he's still talking about Jesus. Now, go down to 15. Who's got Colossians 2:15? Marianne, do you have it? Mm-hmm. Would you read the 15th verse very slowly?
Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Okay. Now, there's a lot in that verse. It tells what Jesus did in hell for us. When he was down there, he did something called disarming principalities and powers. Mine says, the King James says principalities and powers. Does everybody clear that he's talking about demons and evil spirits and Satan here, those principalities and powers? Well, you don't have to turn there, but if I just turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, let me just read you what it says there. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. See, we're talking about demons and evil spirits and Satan here, all right? Principalities and powers, that's what it's called in the Bible. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our problem. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, and so on. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So these principalities and powers we're talking about here are demonic principalities and powers. And it says here in verse 15 that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. Now, in old times, and Marianne, I know you've read a lot of English history and stuff, a lot of times when they would capture the opposing king, an army would, they wouldn't kill him right away, but they lead him in front of the, they had all the troops captured, and they would parade this king up and down in front of his own troops, the conquering people would, and they would heap insults on him, they would tear up his clothes, you know, take his kingly robes off and everything, and just, you know, mock him and hurl insults at him and show his troops that he was defeated. Just show him in a position that they've never seen him before in. Well, when it says here in verse 15 that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, it means that when he defeated Satan and evil, the demons in hell, he made a show of them openly. He paraded their leader, Satan, up and down and showed them that he was defeated. I mean, it was a complete and utter defeat. Now, we're going to go into more scripture showing this, but I just wanted you to kind of get a glimpse of how demeaning this was for Satan. I mean, he was totally defeated by Jesus. He was disarmed. Well, what was he armed with? Well, he was armed with these keys of death and hell. He had authority to bring about spiritual death in anyone who sinned. He had authority then to cast them into hell. Now look what Jesus did about those keys. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Just let this soak in. I know some of this is you maybe have not heard before, but this is really good stuff to find out. We're building up to us. We want to come and see what our part in this is. But first we have to see what Satan had and what Jesus did to him. All right? Now, this is a picture of the glorified Jesus. And I'll read that part, and then I'm going to have you read the key verse here. Verse 13, it says, John, on the island of Patmos, had a vision. And Jesus appeared to him, and in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, he gave a picture and talked about some of the churches and the situations they were in. But first, when he appeared to John, he appeared to John in his glorified body. This is the body that he had before he came to the earth, and now after he's back in heaven, he has this same glorified body. Listen to what it sounds like. This is a Jesus as he is today. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, verse 13, one like unto the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about his middle with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Now I want you to read, Karen, would you read verse 18?
I am the living one, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.
All right. The keys that Satan had to death and hell, remember he had the power to bring about spiritual death, that's what happened to Adam when he sinned, and everyone that lived after Adam. Spiritual death simply means that you're estranged from God, and that your nature is not of God's nature yet, because you're not born again. There's no one to take your sin yet, and they had the same nature Satan had. The keys to hell means Satan, as we saw in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, has the authority to cast into hell. Jesus said, fear that. He has the authority to cast into hell. Now, something has changed. Jesus has gone down to hell, defeated Satan where he lives, made a show of him openly, disarmed him. What that means is he took away the keys of hell and death. Now Jesus has this authority. Do you see the big change here? Satan had it for 5,000 years. And when Jesus went to hell, he defeated him down there. And when he was raised from the dead, he says, Behold, I was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. He'll never die again. And because of that tremendous victory, he now has the keys to death and hell. Now let's read a little bit more about this so we'll understand what this means. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. All right, who's got that? Would you like to read that? Have you got that, Sue? Okay, read verse 14.
Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in the humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil.
Okay. Jesus disarmed, that's what that word means, destroyed him that had the power of death. When did Jesus take it away from him? Through his death. It says right there. You see that? That through death he might destroy or bring to nothing him that had the power of death, who? That is, the devil. You see what that says there? It says the devil had the power of death, but through Jesus' death, he disarmed him, brought him to nothing, and took back that authority. See, that's the half of the keys of death. That's what that's talking about. He took back that key from the enemy. The enemy has no more authority to bring about the nature of spiritual death and permanently leave it on someone. Because through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have a choice now, right? We can accept Jesus as our Savior. And as soon as we do that, that power of spiritual death is broken. Now we have the nature of God, which is eternal life. Big difference. You go from spiritual death nature to eternal life nature. And how did he do it? Through his death. When he defeated Satan in hell. See, he got the keys to death and hell. Right here, it's telling us how he got the key to death. Through Jesus' death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is, the devil. Had. Has it no more. It's important that you understand that Satan, who had the power of death, spiritual death, to put that on people, doesn't have it anymore. They have a choice now. And that's why Christians need to go out and tell everybody about Jesus, so they can get out from under this thing. This is so beautiful how God did this. He's taking back those keys from Satan. And he's told us in Revelation 1:18, he says, "Behold, now I have the keys to hell and death." How did he do it? This tells us a little bit more how he got the key to death. Through Jesus' death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is, the devil. The devil, that he just lost one of his keys right there. The key to putting spiritual death on people. And so they wouldn't have a choice. So they wouldn't have any way out. They can't do that anymore. Man has a choice now. They can accept Jesus as their Savior. So there's no more power. He took that key. Now, turn back to 1 John, and we'll see something else that Jesus did for us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Honey, we're back to you again, okay?
He who does that, what is sinful, is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason that God, the Son of God, appeared was to destroy the devil's work.
There you go. Do you think he did it? Was he successful? Did he destroy the devil's works? Yes, he did. What were one of the devil's works that he destroyed? He took away his authority, the key to hell. See, now Jesus has got both the keys to death and hell. We read that in Revelation 1:18, didn't we? He took back these things. It's so important to understand this. Let this get in your spirit. That Satan no longer has this authority. Where he used to be able to, for 5,000 years, there was no recourse. When a man was born into this world, as soon as he reached the age of reason and knew what sin was, and sinned the first time, and knew what he was doing, he immediately died spiritually. Just like Adam did when he sinned. Received Satan's nature, which is spiritual death. And there was no way out once that happened. Without a Savior, when he died, he would go to hell. So Satan had those keys then, and he was using those keys to first of all, cause people, tempt them to sin, and secondly, to throw them into hell when they did sin. Okay? Now, after 5,000 years, God sent his Son, and he took those keys back from the devil. He can no more longer put spiritual death on people with no choice on their part. And he can no longer cast them into hell when they accept Jesus as their Savior. So Jesus took back those keys. It's important to see that, all right? He revoked Satan's authority to impart spiritual death, and he destroyed Satan's works and the authority to cast into hell. Now, what happened next? Let's just go on to the next thing that happened. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And let's look at verse... Now, let me just give you the setting for this, okay? This is after Jesus rose from the dead. And he's appearing to his disciples after that, all right? And he's giving them some last instructions before he ascends into heaven and sits at the Father's right hand. And he's telling them some very important things before he goes away for a long time. That's where Jesus lives now. He's in heaven. And he was going away, and he had some things to say to his disciples. Look at verse 18 here. Who's got that? Sue, would you read? I'll start with verse 16 and read on through 18.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
Okay. How much authority was given to Jesus after he rose from the dead?
All
of it. How much does that leave for the enemy to have?
None.
None of it.
None.
He's got it all.
Oh,
isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
But you know what? It gets better.
It gets better?
It gets better.
Good.
He not only has it all, but he delegates it to us.
Oh.
And we're going to prove that to you. In fact, as a matter of fact, while we're here, just go on and read verse 19 while you're here.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age.
Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, all power or all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, go you therefore. Go you therefore. Why would he say, go you therefore? Because we're part of his body. And he's going back to heaven. And he's got all the authority, but he's delegating it to his church, the body on earth. And he's saying, you go therefore. Since we all have this authority. I have the authority, but I'm the head and you're my body. See, they're all connected. We're part of Jesus. He's in us and we're in him. And he said something revealing here at the very last. Sue read, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, how is he with us always? He's up in heaven, isn't he? Yes, he is. But he's the head and you're the body.
He's spiritual.
Is the head ever separate from the body?
No.
Or the body separate from the head? They're one entity. And that's why Jesus said, even though he's in heaven, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful thing. Jesus took back the keys of hell and death from Satan. He's got no more authority because Jesus has it all here. All authority is given unto me, and in case you have any question about where it exists, in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore. So all authority has been given unto Jesus. He's received all authority in heaven and in earth. Turn to Ephesians now, chapter 1. I want to read something else. You need to just let this get in your spirit, because I know when you first hear it, you kind of go, wow, could that really be? You got this, let the Holy Spirit make this real to your spirit. Let me just read this one here. Paul is praying, and he's praying for the Ephesians, and he's saying, this is what I pray for you. Now, I'm going to start up in verse 18, because I want you to get the whole thing. He's praying that the Ephesians... Now, it says in verse 18 that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. That means he wants them to be able to see. He's praying that they'll be able to see what he's going to tell them here. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, talking about God, and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance is in the saints. He wants them to, he's praying to God, God, open their eyes so they can see what the riches of their inheritance being Christians really is. Open their eyes, God, and show them what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe. Show them in a way that they'll understand this greatness of your power toward us, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Jesus when you raised him from the dead, and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and all power and all might and all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Now listen. And he's put all things under his feet, talking about Jesus, and gave Jesus to be the head over all things, and gave it to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now that last, let me just tell you, he gave Jesus all authority, all dominion, a name above every name, and then it says he gave it to the church. That's what that really says there. He's put all things under his feet. Now where are the feet? Is the feet on the head or on the body? And where is all things? Under the
feet.
That's us, folks.
That's right.
That's us. He's the head, and he's in heaven. But he's put all things under his feet, and his feet are on the earth. That's where the body is. And everything on this earth is under those feet, which is us. We have all authority. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's what he's praying to God, starting in verse 18, that the eyes of their understanding would be open so they'd understand this. And I think still today it needs to be said, oh, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened to see this mighty truth, that how everything has been put under our feet. Now, also go now to Philippians. Do you see here where he's been given a name above every name? Jesus has. Do you see that there in verse 21? Jesus has been raised up above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. All right, let's just amplify that a little bit. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, which is the next book. I love this. I love to understand. I want to know, I don't know about you, but I want to know what's mine. I don't want to get to heaven and have God say to me someday, Mike, I had so much for you. So many things you could have had on the earth. So many things I want to bless you with. So many things you could have done. I love you, but I had all these things for you. And show a whole table of things that were for me on this earth that I never knew, never used, never took advantage of. See, this is what the Bible tells us about. It tells us about the things that are ours, what our rights and privileges are. Now look at verse, I'll read verses 7 through 9 too. Philippians chapter 2. Well, let's start in verse 5. Paul is saying to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now what was that mind? Who being in the form of God, that's Jesus, Jesus was in the form of God. He was God when he came to the earth, before he came to the earth. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, that wouldn't have been robbery. He was equivalent with God. He was God. But when he came to the earth, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He gave up his heavenly powers to come here and live as a man. All right? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself more than any man ever had. Can you imagine God giving up his throne, Jesus did, coming to heaven, living as a man, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how he worked his miracles, living as a man on this earth. Think about God himself. Jesus is the creator. Did you know if you go read closely the epistles, God was the one that decided that there should be a creation at what time, but Jesus was the actual instrument of creation. It tells in the epistles that Jesus actually created the worlds. All right. It says here that God exalted Jesus after he went to the cross and gave him a name, listen, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, When they hear the name of Jesus, everything bows. Things in earth and things under the earth. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. If you think of any name you can think of, whether it's a name of an object or a name of a person or anything, think of the name of cancer. Jesus is bigger than that name. You can use that name to get rid of things like that. All right? Jesus has a name above every name. It's above every other name. Now, I'm just setting the stage here because I'm going to tell you, give you a preview. He gave us that name to use. The name that's above every name. Mark 16, verse 17. Turn over there. You'll see it. Are you getting a picture of this?
Okay.
Mark 16. And, well, start, honey, verse 17, that's fine.
Okay.
Verse 17 and 18.
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.
And go and read verse 20.
Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied.
See, again, there's that they were to go do these things. They have the authority to do it, but God was working with them. We're the body. He's the head. He's in heaven. We're on the earth. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. These signs shall follow them that believe. Anybody in this room a believer?
Mm-hmm.
Then these signs follow everyone in this room, or should. In my name. Now, here's the thing I want you to get. This name that he said that we could use right here. In my name, he said we can cast out devils, didn't he? Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Says it right here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a believer, in my name, you can cast out devils. That means if you say you need to cast out a devil or cause it to go, whether it's harassing you or anybody and your loved ones, in the name of Jesus, you can command that thing to go, and it has to go.
Just one person?
Huh?
Just one person?
Yeah, anybody. It doesn't. One person, sure. It says here, these signs shall follow them that believe. One person can do this. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Now, that's one of them. But what I want you to get here is the qualifications for doing this is to be a believer and use this name that's above every other name, Jesus just gave us permission to use. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the name above every other name. There is no name like this name. And Satan knows it. And he knows when this name is used, he has to go. You remember when Paul used the name against the little maiden that was following him around saying, these men are sent for the Most High God to show us the way of salvation. She did that for day after day after day. And finally, Paul turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. In other words, this demon was speaking up through this young lady and doing this. And he just finally said, in the name, what did he say?
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Jesus.
Why did he say it? Because he had authority. Did he have authority because he was an apostle?
No.
He had authority because he was a
believer.
Just like you do. We need to get this firmly entrenched in our spirits. Because as Christians, we have so much more authority than we're using. Now, I'm not saying you particularly here, but I'm saying in the body of Christ, there's not a great majority of people that know this, and they ought to know it. Because it's right here in the Word of God, and it's a right and a privilege that they have. I want you to see tonight that this world started out fine. God had a plan for Adam. He had a plan for Eve. He didn't plan for them to die. He gave them all authority here. He wanted only the good things for them. He loved them, just like he loves us. But they got in there. They goofed up. They sinned. They turned it over to Satan. Now, God's on the outside looking in. He's trying to get back in this world to his man. But he's trapped a little bit because he gave all his authority to Adam. And he's not an onion giver. So he's got to look for a legal way back. And the legal way to send his son here is through a human birth. Even though it was conceived by the Holy Ghost, he was born of a virgin. And he came back in the legal way. See, Satan could throw up his hand and say, foul, foul, you know, to God. God's not going to do anything illegal. He's a just God, and he has to do everything legally. And if I give you $50 and come back later and say, I changed my mind, I'm known as an Indian giver. God isn't that way. He gives you something, he gives it to you. If you want to give it away, that's up to you. But he still loved man. And so he got back in there after 5,000 years. He sent his son, and he got back. He took the keys to death and hell. Because why? Jesus went to hell and paid the price for the sin. That's the only way he could do that. And when he went down there and the price was paid for all the sin, Satan had no right to those keys anymore. And Jesus just took them away from him, made a show of him, brought those keys back here. We have scripture that he gave it, you know, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And now, because of that, his father, because he humbled himself to this great degree. Now, you've heard this scripture, haven't you? He that humbles himself will be what? Lifted up or exalted. And to the degree that you humble yourself, it's to the degree that you'll be exalted. There has never been a situation where a man was more humbled than the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this earth and gave up his Godhead and was spit on by man and nailed to a cross. They nailed God to a cross. And when they did this, this man was more humbled than any person has ever been. And because he was humbled to that great degree, his heavenly Father exalted him to a degree that's never been achieved ever, even before Jesus went to the cross. He gave him a name that was above every name. Every name. It was a name reserved in heaven. You say, well, he had the name before that, but not with that authority, not with that same meaning. And then he said to my kids, to my body, I'm the head, they're my body. They have this name too. And you go ahead and use this name. And you have trouble with the enemy, you use my name if you're a believer. If you want to speak in new tongues in that name, you do so. If you want to lay hands on the sick in that name, you can do so. And to the degree that you have faith in that name and understand that your authority in that name, to that very degree, you'll have success in using that name. Now, when you use that name, you can't just come in and go, well, I don't know. I guess I'll kind of give it a try. You never know. It might work. Forget it. That's why I'm talking about this tonight, so you can see in your hearts that this is yours. Not because I'm an outstanding convincer of this. I'm not. But I do know this much. I do know that if I read the Word to you, those are seeds that will go into open hearts and grow. And you may not see all this at first. At first it may seem too good to be true. But that's a seed and it'll grow. And as you begin to meditate on this and think about this, you're going to see the degree and start getting some insights into the degree of the authority that you have that maybe you've never realized before. Not just to cast out devils, but to get people healed, to get whatever you really need. Really, in that name. He gave us. You know, to me, it's incredible when you meditate on these scriptures, it becomes real to you that the Father exalted his name to this degree. I think, what a name. It's above every other name that ever has been, ever will be, in hell, earth, or heaven. And he gave it to us to use. That's incredible. It's just incredible.
Awesome.
Awesome is right. All right, so now, where are we? As Christians. All right? This is what Jesus did for us. Jesus then gave Christians his power, authority, and name. Why did he do that? To carry out his work on the earth. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It gets better. Now he's got something for us to do. He's not going to leave us. Remember when he said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I won't leave you powerless. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He didn't leave them by themselves. It says he worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. How is he with us? Through his Holy Spirit, which indwells each one of our hearts as believers. Think of that. Not only have we got the name of Jesus to use, we have God himself living in our spirits. So here's the thing. Jesus gave us the authority to use his name. But guess who backs it up with power? The Holy Spirit in here. When you get the revelation of God living in you, then you can understand. Then you don't cringe when you say, well, I have this authority. I don't feel like I have this authority. What can I do? You don't do anything. You just exercise your authority like the policeman stands out in the road and puts his hand out. He doesn't put his hand out and go, ooh, I hope they stop. He knows the power that's back of that. They run him down and they're in deep trouble for a long time. And Satan knows when we throw our hand out, stop, in the name of Jesus, he knows he's got to come to a screeching halt. And he'll leave you alone because he has to. He has no choice. And he'll go off and bug somebody else. That's why the devil says, that's why the Bible says, Satan goes about as a roaring lion. Goes about. Didn't say he was a roaring lion. It says he tries to go about as one, seeking those he may devour. He knows he can't devour everybody, because some of us, like some of the Christians like us, know their authority. But he goes about growling, and if he sees somebody, oh my gosh, oh, I got one I can devour. But if he comes around and growls at you, and you go, stop in the name of Jesus, he says, that ain't one I can devour. I'm going on somewhere else. See, that's the way it has to be, because the Bible says it's that way. Oh, when you get to understand the authority that you have. Okay, John 14, verse 12. Who's got that there?
Who'd like
I've got
to, it.
All right.
I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will even do greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
Go ahead and read 13, too.
And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father.
Verse 14.
You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Isn't that an incredible promise? So many Christians read right across that and they just go, keep going, oh, it's too good to be true. It must be something I don't understand. But what he's saying here is very clear. He says, truly, truly, he's trying to get it across to them. I say unto you, he that believes on me, how many in this room believe on him? Everybody in this room believes on him. So this applies to us. You need to think of it that way. This applies to me. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatever you ask, there's that again, in my name, that will I do. So here we go. Here's the name, here's the believer. If you're a believer, you can use his name, and anything you ask, now that means in line with the Word of God, you know. And everything that you need in here is in line with the Word of God. Healing is in line with the Word of God. Prosperity is in line with the Word of God. A good marriage is in line with the Word of God. Peace in your heart is in line with the Word of God. Kids that grow up in the Lord is in line with the Word of God. They may go away for a little while, but they'll come back if you'll stick in there and keep believing God for them. All these things and more besides are things that you can ask for in His name. He just gave you permission here, if you're a believer, to ask what you will in His name. The name that is what? Above every other name.
In heaven and earth.
You know, wouldn't it be something if the President of the United States or the King of England or somebody said, I don't want to get into politics here, but in my name, I'm going to give you authority to use my name for anything you want. Do you think that'd carry a little bit more weight than just using Mike's name here or Marianne's name here? He's saying, listen, Mike, I've given you written authority right here. President Bush signs this to me. Anything you want that's in my power, you can have. And he signs his name. To whom it may concern, Mike Fitzpatrick has authority in my name to anything that my name means to you, give it to Mike just as you give it to me. Signed, President Bush. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? But that's not nearly as good. People would brag about that. You'd see articles in the paper. So-and-so got a letter from President Bush saying anything he wants in my name you can ask for, or whatever, or the King of England, or anything. But that's nothing. That's nothing. We have the name that's above every name. A name that's greater than any name in heaven, any name on earth, any name under the earth. It's the name of Jesus, and he says, in my name you ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. The reason people don't get these things is because they don't believe it. They read that and they go right over and say, that's too good to be true. But I can tell you for a fact, it's been working for me for many years now. Because I get in these scriptures and I read them and I say, that's me. I'm a believer. I want to do that. He's invited me. That's mine. Thank you, Jesus. I'll take that. And I go on, I use it. And it works. I'm sitting right in front of my wife. And she knows, she would, if Marianne would speak up if it wasn't true. She wouldn't let me get away with it. But it is true. It's true in our marriage. It's true in our life. And I want to get this across to you tonight. So we have authority to pray in the name of Jesus. We have authority to do the works of Jesus if you're a believer. What works did he do? Healing, casting out devils, all those things, those works, and even greater works. Some people go, what could be greater? Well, how about being able to bring to someone the word of salvation? Jesus couldn't do that. Why? Because he hasn't gone to the cross yet. Now the body gets that wonderful privilege to be able to tell someone, you don't have to be under this dominion of the enemy anymore. You don't have to live in his kingdom. Colossians 1:13 says we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And if you accept Jesus as your savior, you change kingdoms. You change fathers. You change, you get the Holy Spirit living in you. You get a right to use the name of Jesus. You get to be called a believer. You get to be called a son of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Those are just a few of the things that we have as believers. And so tonight I just kind of wanted to set the stage a little bit for who we are in Christ, some of the authority that we have as believers. And next week, God willing, we'll go on from here and maybe amplify this a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord has to say. So I just want to end up with this one thing. In the very beginning of our lesson, we said legal authority is based on rights given by written laws, enforced by the power of the courts, and backed by the status of the government that wrote the laws. Now, very bottom line on your outline. Christian authority is based on rights given by the written word of God, enforced by the power of the Holy Spirit, and backed up by the standing or status in the name of Jesus Christ. Boy, have we got it made. But it's like anything else. If this is so good, for 2,000 years, listen, although this has been Christians for over 2,000 years, Satan doesn't want Christians to know about this. And this has been true for 2,000 years. And Christians haven't been using this to the degree that they should. Why? Hosea 4:6 covers it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't know. And if you don't know that you have this authority, you'll never use it. And if you never use it, then Satan looks at you and he says, there's one of those that will believe that I'm a roaring lion. And there's one I can devour, even though they're a Christian. They won't fight back because they don't know their authority. And he does. But I hope tonight we've got a room full of people that know now the authority they have. And they're not going to be someone that Satan can go about as a roaring lion and devour them. I don't think he will here in this group. So Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this lesson tonight on the authority that you've given us in your word, Father. I hope I've conveyed to the people here, Lord, a little bit of the authority that you've given us and how the history of the authority came about and how Jesus got it all back for us, Lord, and then turned around. And because we're his body, he gave it to us, Father. Thank you so much for trusting us with the mighty name of Jesus and with his authority, Father. But Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would, to those here tonight, that you would just imprint it on their spirit. Cause these seeds, Father, that have gone forth tonight to grow strongly and mightily in the soil of their hearts, Father, to bring about a new understanding of who they are in you and who they are in Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray this, Father, and ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, let's see. Tonight we're going to start off with talking about the homework on Lesson 7 that we covered in our last meeting. And in our last meeting we covered in our series on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. Our lesson was entitled, Know Your Authority.
And that, I read that too.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. So, Know Your Authority. And last time we talked about what authority is, and then went through the history of the authority and power on the earth. And we just talked about Adam's authority and power, then how Satan got involved and took what Adam had, and then how Jesus took it back again, and then how Jesus gave it to us. And so let's go over our homework now and see how we did. All right, our first question in lesson 7 here is the true or false question, and it goes like this. At one time, Adam had authority in and over the earth. Is that true or is that false? At one time, did Adam have authority?
Yeah, the Lord.
Yes, he did. That's true. And if he did, why did he have authority? Because God gave it to him, didn't he? God said. I mean, he didn't just take it. God said, listen, Adam, I'm setting you up here on the earth. I'm giving you dominion over the animals, dominion over the earth. You run things. This is your place. He wouldn't have had it unless God gave it to him, but God gave it to him. Next question. In effect, then, Adam was God of, or in charge of, and responsible for, this world.
Yeah, true.
True. He was little God, little g God, but he was, in effect, in charge of and responsible for this world. So that's true. When Adam disobeyed God and obeyed Satan, he turned his allegiance from God to Satan and then forfeited his authority to Satan. True or false?
That's true.
That's exactly what he did. He disobeyed God and obeyed Satan, and he turned his allegiance from God to Satan and lost his authority. The day that Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree, they blank, blank.
Died spiritually.
Thank you. That's exactly what they did. God said, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And they died, not physically that day, but spiritually. That's right, Karen. They also took upon themselves the nature of Satan, which is blank, blank. What is the nature of Satan?
Sin and death.
Sin and death? That's a good example. I had spiritual death, but sin and death is just as good and maybe better. The nature of Satan is sin and death. That's true. Today, Satan is God of this world and has authority over everyone on the earth. True or false?
False.
False.
Does
everybody agree? He does not have authority over Christians. That's true. Glad you picked that up. I thought maybe I'd sneak that through there, but I guess I didn't. He is God of this world, little g God of this world, but he does not have authority over everyone. Jesus received all authority in blank and blank after his resurrection. What goes in those blanks? He received all authority in blank and blank. And I gave you a scripture, Matthew 20.
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth. That about covers it, doesn't it? If you've got authority in the heavens, authority in the earth, you've got it all. So Jesus had all authority. Then he gave his authority on blank to blank. He gave his authority where? On
earth
to Christians. Yeah. See, I have a C there. To us, believers, any of those will work. See, he didn't give us all the authority he had. He only gave us authority on the earth. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because we're not going anywhere, really, with this earth for many years to come. So he gave us authority where it counts, where we need it, and that's right here on this earth. Jesus gave Christians authority on the earth in the blank realm. What realm do we have authority in?
I said spiritual.
Spiritual realm, that's right. The spiritual realm. We don't have authority. We can't just go down the street and pull people over with our car and say, you know, I clocked you at 68 miles an hour and a 48 mile an hour zone. We don't have authority to do that, do we?
No.
Well, I mean, we could. We could turn them in if we saw somebody speeding, but we'd have to tell someone else in authority what we saw, wouldn't we? But we don't have authority just to, I don't have authority to come in your house and not even say so much as boo and start rearranging your furniture. This is your house, right?
As long as you're going to clean it up.
Well, you might let me do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is we don't have authority on the earth over everything. We have authority only in the spiritual realm, not just in the natural realm. But we do have authority in the spiritual realm where there is spirit. You know, you need to think about this sometime. There's another realm called the spiritual realm that's every bit as real as what we're living in right here. It's just in a... We can't see it with our senses. We can only discern it with our spirit. So sometimes to people that live mostly in the sense realm, it doesn't seem very real to them. True or false? Satan and his demons live in the spiritual realm on the earth. True or false?
True.
They certainly aren't walking up and they're around. And it says Satan walks to and fro throughout the earth. You see that in the Bible. But They live in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. True or false? So Christians have authority over Satan. Well, first let me go back. Jesus gave Christians authority on the earth and the spiritual realm. Satan and his demons live in the spiritual realm on the earth. True or false? So Christians have authority over Satan and all his demons. True or false?
True,
because we have authority on the earth in the spiritual realm. Satan and his demons are on the earth. Therefore, we have authority over Satan and all his demons. The power source backing up the Christian's authority is the Holy Spirit. True or false?
True.
We have the authority, but just like a policeman has authority, he needs power to back him up. And that power is the government and the courts. Christians have authority over Satan, and the power to back that up is the Holy Spirit. So when we say, Satan, go in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit backs that up and causes him to go. That's the way it works. All right, blank has a blank above every blank. What'd you put in there? Philippians 2:9.
Jesus has
a what?
Name.
Above every name. No. That wasn't hard, was it? Philippians 2:9 says exactly that. That's why I put it out there. So if you have any problems, you can just look it up. So Jesus has a name above every name. There is no other name given that is higher than the name of Jesus. There is no other name in all of the universe that has more authority or power behind it than the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, listen to this, Christians, you can use my name. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, he had a lot of
He
faith.
Said we could use his name. Are you familiar with the term power of attorney?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? Mm-hmm. It means like if say someone, has to go on a long trip and he's in charge of something and he says, well, I'm gone, I'm going to leave you with my power of attorney to sign any contracts or any documents. Somebody he trusts very much that has authority to use his name. And the courts will honor that just as if that person was writing his own name right here. Mm-hmm. So what Jesus basically has given us is power of attorney to use his name. What Jesus is saying is, you have authority to use my name. I'm going away for a while. I'm going to be in heaven with my Father. Mm-hmm. But I'm sending my Holy Spirit to be with you. And any time you use my name, as far as the world, the earth is concerned, it will be just as if I was there doing it. Because you have authority to use my name. That's how powerful that name is. But remember in the Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going into the temple about the ninth hour, I think it says, and there was a crippled man there. And he asked him for money. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you. What did he have?
He had the power of God.
He had the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man walked just like he would have done had Jesus been there, because Jesus was there through his name. And then later on, when he was being questioned by the Jews on what he did and healing that man, he says, his name, Jesus' name, through my faith in his name, has made this man whole. All we're lacking, we've been given permission to use his name, all we're lacking is faith in that name. And how is faith in that name going to come? By hearing that we have authority to use that name. And seeing, right, seeing it in print in the Word, hearing it like we're doing tonight, that's how we know that we have the authority in that name. You know, and when we believe it, when we really get into our spirits that we have that name, then we're going to see things happen more. But right now, what we have a lot of times is people who, gee, I heard that. Is this really kind of hard to believe that he'll back it up just like... And so there's doubt that enters in, and that name doesn't do the things that God really wants us to do in our lives. But the more we hear it, the more faith that we're going to have. So Jesus gave Christians their right to use his name. Oh, I answered the next question. But that's what it is. Jesus gave Christians the right to use his name. He has a name above every name, and then he gave us a right to use it. What a beautiful thing that is. I'll tell you what, that to me is one of the greatest truths in the Christian, the rights and privileges that we have, the right to use his name. We'll talk about that a little more tonight. True or false? Christian authority is based upon rights given by the written word, enforced by the power of the Holy Spirit, and backed up by the status of the name of Jesus. True or false? That's a long statement, but if you turn, if you looked at your outline, you would see that it's true. All right. So here's some bonus questions. All right, here we go. Name four ways Christians can use Jesus' name, or four things Christians can do with that name. All right, and I gave you the scriptures, so if you don't have them there, that means you didn't look them up. So give me four ways, okay? What's the first one? How can we use Jesus' name? What's one way?
Resist the devil.
Resist the devil, or cast out devils. What's another way?
Heal the sick.
Lay hands on the sick in my name, he said, and they'll be healed. What's another thing we can do? Mark 16, 17, 18.
Speak in new tongues
in his name. Now, how about John 16, 23? What can we do in his name?
Good gifts from God.
John 16, 23? Okay. Let's look it up. Let's look up John 16:23. See what it says. John chapter 16. Honey, you can just read it, okay?
Okay. 16:23. And in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name.
So.
Get good gifts from God.
Good gifts from God, okay. Or I have. You can pray in Jesus' name.
Well, yeah.
You can pray.
Yeah.
Those are just four ways. There's more. But cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, pray. All these things could be done in Jesus' name. And God will back it up just as he would do if Jesus was saying those things. That's what it means that to use his name. What else could it mean? If I said to you, you can use my name, that means anything I have authority over, I'll back up with you. If Jesus says we can use his name, it means anything he has authority over, he'll back us up. What does he have authority over? He said, I have been given all power and all authority.
In heaven and earth.
Now, you're on the earth, so guess what? He's given us his authority and his power on this earth. Mm-hmm. Sounds almost too good to be true, and I think for a lot of people it is too good to be true because they don't really believe it to the degree that they should, I think. Okay, name three ways Jesus defeated Satan after Jesus died for us. And I gave you some scriptures to look up. What's one thing he did? What's the first thing he did?
Disarmed his power and authority.
He disarmed his power and authority. Good. All right. Anybody else got anything else?
Took the keys to hell.
Mm-hmm. That's right. From Satan. What else? Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. You know, I'm the first and the last. I have the keys of blank and blank. What did he say?
Death and hell.
Death and hell. Mm-hmm. Spiritual death is no longer a problem. God gave us a way out through Jesus, accepting him as our Savior. Hell is no longer a problem. He took those keys from Satan, that authority. Keys are a symbol of authority. He took that authority that Satan had, took it away from him, and Satan doesn't have that anymore. Okay? That's another way. What's another way? Well, he took his authority to cast into hell and his authority to impart spiritual death. So all those things, Jesus defeated Satan and took away from him. Took us away from him, basically. He's no more authority over us. Give an example of someone who has authority but little actual power. Just give me an example of someone who has some authority but not very much power. Who would you say that would be?
Policeman.
A policeman.
And a teacher.
They
have a lot of power, but they do have authority.
But they have something backing them up, don't they? You go to the principal's office, that backs them up. Okay. Give an example of someone who has both authority and power.
Father to a child.
Father
to his child.
He
has the power to...
Okay, that's good. That'll work.
He has the power to force him to do something.
All right.
Governor, president?
Yeah, he has authority and he has some power too, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Give another example. Give me an example of someone in the spiritual realm that has authority and power.
That's with Jesus' authority and power.
I would say Jesus.
Jesus? Mm-hmm. Okay.
God.
Right. And who else has authority on this earth? Authority and power.
We do.
We have authority and we have the power of the Holy Spirit in it. So we have authority and power. Now, give an example of someone who has a little power, but no authority.
Bully.
A little power, but no authority. Okay, a bully. Name a bully in the spiritual realm.
The devil.
There you go. He has a little power, but no authority. Did you know that Luke 10:19 says, Jesus said, I have given you all authority over all the power of the devil. So he has no authority and a little power, but Jesus gave us authority over all his power. So whatever little power he does have, we have authority over. There is no way that sucker's going to sneak out of this. He's got no recourse with Christians unless they give it to him. What little power he has, I'll say that again. Luke 10:19 says that Jesus has given us all authority over the power of the devil. He only has a little power left, but that little power he does have, we have all authority over it. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That means that Satan and his demons can't do any more in our lives than what we let him do. That's good news. When we use our authority, he's got to stop using that little power that he still has against us. Boy, when you get that down in your spirit, you're not going to take any more crud from that guy. Okay? So that's the end of our homework. And sounds like everybody did pretty well.